Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it finally at last to World Poetry Open Mic. And I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. I've got the usual suspects surrounding me in their correct order. Sitting on my left-hand side, he is Magic Michael Amade.
You know, I've been referred to as Magic Mike a lot this week. And I have yet to even take my clothes off. I'm in the same clothes I was in last week.
That is weird. Anyway, sitting to his left and my right, he is the man, the master of all things technical. He is the nine-thumbed half-squatch, JT. Welcome to the show, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We made it.
Yes.
I'm sorry I was running late. I had to stop for those extra tacos, for the tacos special.
Extra tacos.
Yes.
What's going on?
You were having a taco special down at Taco Bell. I figured I'd stop for extra more. That's why we're running late. I apologize.
What is this taco special?
We'll
really?
Have to go after
it. Yeah, taco special? All right.
So we're not advertising for them, so we can't do that. All right. What we do here is we do poetry, and because of you, the poets listening, we do poetry very well. You guys call in. You share your poetry, 720-240-9766 when we have a call-in period. What we're going to do is we're going to play a musical interlude. We're going to get to the callers, but we do need to pay our bills. First and foremost, we are partnered with the Hudson, the Wild Animal Sanctuary. Basically, they have a lot of wild animals out there, lions, tigers, bears, zebras.
Oh, my.
I know. all sorts of animals. And they need help feeding and sustaining their support for these animals. They're a non-kill shelter, so they don't want to kill any of these animals.
It's actually a really cool place. I spent some time out. We've both been out there before.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I've been hearing a lot of friends in the area. Well, have just randomly, without knowing each other, have all been going out there. It's a really cool time. If you're ever in Colorado and you have the chance to get there, I definitely would recommend it.
Correct. And if you're outside of Colorado and you want to support, go ahead and go out to benefitwines.com/TWAS, that's short for the Wildlife or the Wild Animal Sanctuary, and you can order their custom bottles of wine. All the proceeds from those wines go to support these wonderful and amazing creatures to watch. And they have collector's label on each bottle, so basically you can try 7 to 10 wines and each have a different Yes, Phantom, I'm talking to you. You can try 7 to 10 wines and have a different label on each bottle.
7 to 10 wines and have an entirely interesting experience like J. Todd did last time he was out there.
There you go. All right.
He was part of the wildlife.
I am the wildlife.
What is that naked man doing prancing out there with the lion?
All right. Free at last. Free at last. All right. So what we do is we want you to call in. We want 1 3-minute long poetry. We want it clean up the magic F-bomb that gets you kicked off the show. We also want it free of any hate speech. That's all we ask, really. But we want your good work. We want your amazing poems.
Bring your A game.
Bring your A game tonight.
That's right.
So, right now, for Michael, for the Hasquatch and myself, we're going to take a little music only, get some calls ready. Stay tuned. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Call in now.
Killer tree.
created for you.
Do you like Edgar Allan Poe? How about Walt Whitman? Give us a call and read your favorite poem, 720-240-9766. Our lines are open. You can read a cover. It's okay.
If you're looking for live poetry events, then I've got a hot tip for you. The third Saturday of every month at the Artworks Building in Richmond, Virginia is the place where you need to be. Partake of poetic magic in the Center Gallery, hosted by Director of Poetry for the Urban Individualist, Siddhartha Pierce. This historic and unique poetic venue is beyond compare. To learn more, go to urbanindividualists.com or artworksrichmond.com. The feature readers for March are William S. Peters Sr. and June Barrifield. The Artworks Studios and Gallery is located at 320 Hull Street in Richmond, the only place you would want to be on the third Saturday of every month from 1 until 3 p.m. Experience the best of poetics from around the world live and in person. Don't miss it. Welcome back. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. We've got lots of great callers queued in. And, you know, we do poetry here. This is what we're about. We're a big, happy family. There's no pretense about who's better than the other or anything like that. We just want to hear good work.
It's very true, except for when I go home at night and I look myself in the mirror. I try to be better than I was yesterday. And, in fact, I'm actually very... very meanly competitive with my past self.
Are you succeeding though?
I try. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't quite work. A little bit sociopathic that way.
Me too. I always try to better myself. I never succeed.
I have a small question for you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You have them both plugged in?
I have one. I can do both.
Which one do you have plugged in?
So
keep talking. 1 second.
Okay.
All right. Well, we talk amongst ourselves, and you know, we're going to get to these callers. So if you're Ellie, Dennis, I'm going to preview who we've got. We've got Lewis online. We've got Don Hagelberg calling from California. And, of course, after our next break, it could be you calling in. The phone number that you need to call is 720-240-WPOM. It's just that easy.
All right.
So we're going to go to a caller now.
We are going to go to a caller. Give me uno momento, por favor.
All right. Can you say that in English, please? I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
Speak American. Okay, here we go.
And American.
Our first caller here is actually a longtime friend of the show.
Really long time.
Yes, and he's usually one of the first callers.
She's like a comforter, a blanket to our show. She is the way we start off most weeks.
That's right. It's Miss Ellie Lejeune on the air. Hello. Doing very, very well. Thank you.
Doing really well.
One second here. Give us 1 second.
What we're doing is we're trying to troubleshoot a phone situation that has arisen unbeknownst to us. So while we're doing that, I'm going to get to some poetry to fill some space. If I can get my... There we go.
We're good.
What we did is we had a submission from Pride Foltz, and I told him I would read this, so I'm going to start with this. It's a spoken word piece that he's gotten. It's called I See. I see pearls in my cloudy, opalescent, screaming vision. I see rainbows in my foggy, indecent, blinding sight. Closed shells of pressure, arcs of pain and loss, heartrending ache, madness. Grief, I don't see in my cloudy opalescence vision, I feel. And that's Pride Foltz. So he'll lead off the show.
He'll lead off the show. Now let's go back. Let's try this one more time.
We're going to try Ellie one more time.
We'll see if this works.
This happened to her before, too, when we were over at the other place.
She's a very, very understanding. Let's try this again.
Ellie, are you with us?
Hello, Ellie?
Ellie? Houston, we have a problem.
Ellie, hang on just a moment.
So basically what's happening right now...
So, we're going to go to another one of my poems. This one, actually, I just put on both the sites that I post on today. I wrote it back July of 2012, and it's called Mulch. The tree had grown to immense proportions. The branches reach out in all directions. The years of weather... the touch. Branches had been trimmed from time to time. One branch had grown deformed. Though relatively new, it was not so strong. After a time, it gave up and broke off, falling helplessly to the ground, only to have its remains gathered up, fed through a chipper, and spread around the base of the tree that it was formerly a part of, to feed and nourish the other branches that remain. And that was Mulch. So, all right, so we want to thank you for bearing with us. We are actively troubleshooting something that we never saw coming at us. The nine-thumbed half squatch is really, really working his thumbs off, to be honest.
His thumbs are being worked to the bone.
We have
so many cool callers on the line.
Yes, and we want to get to them, and the half squatch is getting us there. Ellie, are you with us?
We want to see if we can get Ellie. Her.
Ellie, are you with us?
Ellie, right.
Hey, one Ellie, more time. Are you okay? How about Ellie?
Ellie?
And no.
I think maybe her.
Now we can hear you, but it's not on the air. It's
okay, so Ellie, give us one moment here. Let's do this. Give us one moment here to get this working.
All right, so what we're going to do is I'll do one more of my own, and then we'll start finding some submissions. This is entitled A Traveled Poet. Another new one. I wrote this one actually in a meeting for a warm-up for the NAPOMO. And NAPOMO, for those that don't know, is National Poetry Month, which begins on April 1st. The challenge for National Poetry Month, usually, is to write a poem a day the entire month long. I've done it once. So, yes. There are a lot of poets out there that do it, and I admire them because it really is draining to come up with something to write about every single day. So this is my warm-up. This has been going through my head for a while. I was sitting in a meeting, and I'm like, you know what? I'll just start jotting this down. I'm driving through there with my wife and daughter. Months down the road, it finally hit me like the cool droplets of falling water. I miss the quiet Hallam, Nebraska nights when my manic life slowed for a bit. Something in which my mind delights, sharing in brews and relaxation as we sit. I missed the balmy Warland night in July, searching for the ice cream shop that was not. The city partying as we wondered why the music was loud and the nighttime air was hot. I missed the plaza in Santa Fe, watching the people shop as I wrote, enjoying the musicians as they all play, lavishing in every single note. I missed the Sherman County dirt track, the fried chicken on which we dined, showing all the willpower that I lack, deep fried Snickers, what a glorious find. I miss running around with my blushing bride, a summer spent like back when we were young, from spring to fall, feeling so free inside, running around in the hot summer sun.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
I've heard you read, I think you read that once you read before or one time, didn't you?
No, that's new. I actually wrote that this week, Thursday.
No, maybe not. Maybe you've just written a few poems about your...
Well, you've heard a lot of my poetry.
You've written a few things about your lovely wife. You've written a few things about fried chicken. So I think,
yeah. There you go. That's what I do.
Now, do we want to try one more time?
Sure, we'll try one more time.
Okay.
All right. Ellie, are you online with us? Ellie, are you online with us?
Right now.
Ellie, are you in line with us? And no.
Okay, so.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break while we iron out some kinks. We're going to go to another musical interlude. If you feel free, call in. We will try and get you queued up with the rest of the callers while we troubleshoot. 720-240-WPOM. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
Thank you.
All right, so we're back, and we may have beat the gremlins this time.
We might have. I have one other trick up my sleeve.
That was not the trick we had.
That was me saying a really bad curse word. Let's try this again.
I'm glad you bleeped, Michael, by the way. That was very cool.
So sorry.
That's all right. Ellie, are you in line with us?
I'm here.
Oh, success. Right. It's amazing what hitting one button will do for a program.
Are you guys ready for the poem?
We are ready for your poem, but first I'm going to use you for an announcement, first off.
All right, here we go.
Sometimes you interact with callers to announce things. I want you to know World Poetry Open Mic for National Poetry Month has decided to bring back the Poet of the Month selection.
That's right, and we've been taking some submissions and we have been. And all week.
And it was overwhelmingly decided that you are our National Poetry of the Month poet.
Me?
Yes.
You are.
Congratulations, Ellie.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. You always support
my whole
our show.
Family's in the living room going, yay, they're listening to you guys.
Nice.
Like those crazy guys who have to keep fighting the technology just to... But now, yes, you are our Poet of the Month. Congratulations, Ellie. And I think I can speak for another
thank
people.
Thank you
in the
so much. I'm so honored. I really am. It's just a wonderful honor.
Awesome.
And thank you.
I can speak for everybody in the crew and for all of our listeners in saying that we definitely believe you deserve it. And
exactly.
Thank you so much for everything you do for us.
Far, far overdue, to be honest. But
thank
I do want you
so
to,
much. I feel humbled and honored. I really do.
No worries. I do want you to send your contact info to the World Poetry Open Mic email address, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And that way we can get you up on our website. But congratulations, and share with us some of your amazing poetry that made you qualify for this.
Okay. Well, the one I've got for you tonight is called The Ivory Horn. Camelot, King Arthur crowned this day. The unicorn kings of mystic forest keep to battle. Which would be champion steed of Camelot's king? Queen of the fairies called forth, pure-hearted. We must be Arthur's own true shire, lest Camelot fall into Morgana's grip of magic's deadly arts of hellfire. Morgana, of the dark, deep deceptions, called forth her blackest unicorn, Raven Sword, prowler of secret midnight shadows, deadliest deceit. Go forth, and defeat this fairy steed, so on the morrow Camelot's realm be mine. Moonrise of winter solstice, midnight hour, so on the morrow Camelot's realm be mine. Battle begun, these clouds my deep shadows. Morgana, her enchantment of darkest spell devised, upon the devil's sharpened horn of raven sword, but not to crush pure-hearted this night. For conquered was Raven Sword his horn, as pure-hearted was cast in ivory pure that adorned the hilt of Arthur's sword. Named from the horn of the King of Unicorns, many moons long past in first enchantment's time, pure-hearted now, King Arthur's champion steed true. Until Guinevere claimed him for her very own.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Ah, and that's why she's the Poet of the Month for National Poetry Month.
It definitely is. I mean, she's been bringing it every week. Literally, I think every single week, or at least...
No, she missed one.
One week. You know, Ellie, that's more than... That's one less than I've missed. I mean...
You guys are too much. This is wonderful. I feel like I've just been crowned queen.
You are a queen, Poetic Queen of the Month.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, what do I do? I'm supposed to go where and sign up something? Or
no, you don't have to sign up. Basically, all you're going to do is email your contact information from All Poetry.
We can send people to your work.
Yeah, so we can send people to your work for all month long.
Okay, cool.
And you email it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com.
That's it.
Okay. All right. I will do that.
All right.
Thank
excellent.
You so much, guys, you, and Ellie. Have a good night. I'll be listening.
Excellent. You thank too. You, Ellie.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to...
I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Thank you. Now, we're going to go to our next caller. We're just going to move right along here. This is another great friend of ours.
Long-time listener.
Long-time
listener. Former World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Hello. Welcome.
Hello, Dennis. Can you hear us?
Dennis? Are you
wait,
with
wait,
us?
Wait, hold on. No, 1 second. This is user error here. 1 second.
Oh, it was an error between the chair and the keyboard?
I think we got it.
Dennis, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, Dennis.
Everything's a victory now. Everything just feels like a little victory.
Hey, we've got voices on the line.
Every time something comes on, we've just blown up the Death Star.
All right. Look at the size of that thing.
That's what, never mind.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been great. And thank you so much for making Ellie the Poet of the Month. She's very well deserving, and I'm sure she's going to really appreciate it.
She is very overly deserving. Like I said when I announced it, far overdue.
Yes. Well, I have a couple poems for you tonight. The first one's a little bit different. It's a prose poem.
All right.
And the title of it is Watches of the World Unite. And it goes like this. Watches of the world unite, said the Bolivar in the lead. It's high time we take control and conquer the slumbering organic units. They would be lost without us. We give the world order, and now it's time we give the orders. The fossil in the back looked confused, but the Rolex chimed in his support. Our time has come, he said bravely, and the revolution began. But what about those inferior digital units, the citizen watch asked. Everyone knows they have no character. There was a show of support among all the spring-fed watches with charming faces. Now hold on there, said the Timex, off to the side. We need to be united, one for all and all for one, whether they be spring-wound, electric, or digital. The Bolivar, wanting to squelch this division, said, let's form a committee to study this matter. So a time study group was formed, and they agreed to meet the next evening at 10 p.m. by the oak tree. The next evening, only a few showed up because they could not agree upon which time zone was the right one to go by. Plus, some were on daylight savings time, and some were running late due to weak batteries and run-down mainsprings. So the matter of which watches would be included in the ranks of the revolution was never decided, because there was never a quorum present to make those decisions. Thus, the revolution fell on hard times. The moral of this tale is, if you want to get something done in a timely fashion, don't send it to a committee and expect it to get results any time soon.
Nice. Love it. That's great.
Very nice, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I have one more. It's the title of it is Mariner's Bell.
Right.
And it's written in the Leona Rima form.
All right.
The sea has many tales to tell where noblemen and scoundrels fell. For love of sea and love of gold, men were compelled to join the fold and leave the terra firma ground to ride the waves till fortune found. One common fate, they all were drowned. The stories of the sea untold are echoed in the Mariner's Bell.
Well done. Love it.
Thank you.
Dennis, as always, thank you for calling our show. And thank you for showing the way for the new poets that are coming in to join our family. You're such a blessing on our show that I can't heap enough praise on you, brother.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, but you have been a great blessing to us, and we are not going to let you forget that. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
Thank you. All right, that's Dennis.
That's Dennis. Now, isn't it cool how we just have so much great work coming in on a regular basis? And we have so many great callers, so many great friends that are involved here at the show. And we want to go to another one. We have another one who's been on hold here for a while.
All right, let's go to him.
This is a great friend of yours.
Yes.
Always ask for you by name. This here is Lewis. Lewis, are you still there, sir?
Yeah, back at you, brother. How you been last week, Sue?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. Good to hear. Always good to hear. I got one for you. It's called Revival at Noon.
All right.
Sometimes the ice on the window will hide the rising sun, but alas, the sun will climb to noon, and then revival will come. And when it does, the blinded eyes see, and the lame will stand to walk, and the muted tongues will come to life, and brother, will they forevermore talk. Revival, revival everywhere, from Christ's well let us drink, and be filled and ever the wanting, let us ponder, pause, and think of the ice that comes to run off, and this doesn't come too soon, when the morning sun in the east rises high up to 12 noon.
Well done, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Keep the faith. God bless you all.
Hey, God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling our show.
Amen.
Right on. So that was Lewis from Savannah, Georgia. Now, he and I have been friends for, 8 years? No.
Has it been a while?
Yeah, 6 years. Yes.
Wow, that's a long time.
You've been you and I have been friends for 10, him for 20.
I know. Yeah. I was sitting there the other day going, how did we stay friends this long?
I don't know. I really don't know. But it's a good thing.
We've all been through, everybody here, and I'm sure people at home can hear this, and I like the fact that we're kind of forging these relationships with people that actually call into the show as well, but we've had, we've all been through a lot of stuff together personally before we started the show, and I think that's what I think allows us to get through this stuff when we're having to
exactly right
kickstart mixers and whatever else there we're you doing. Go. So let's go straight on to the last caller of this segment. This we're going to do another segment. And this is a great friend of the show as well.
Exactly, longtime friend of the show. Please welcome from California, his Don Hagelberg.
Hello, Don. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir, and I have a poem here. Its title is Bapuji, and it is dedicated for all the Aparachiki. And the text begins, when you put the gun of government against the temple of my head and pull the trigger, may I have enough time before I die to have the presence of mind to say, I forgive you. Namaste. Let's get some definitions of some of the words here. Bapuji is Hindi, and it's for little father. The word is usually linked to Mohandas Gandhi. Namaste, the last word in the poem, is also Hindi, and it's a greeting, which means and now I'm going to
Okay, well, listening here, it seems like
Dawn has faded out into
faded
the
out. Inexplicably
air.
Here on our end.
Much like an Art Bell show that I once heard. That was weird. He was giving a great educational thing on the words in his poem, and I was enjoying it, and all of a sudden fades out.
And that was not, I don't think that was anything that happened on our end here. It might have been something with our connection. Don, if you can hear this, if you can hear us, we can't hear you right now. Can you try to call back here in this next segment? If we can get you on, or if we can get you and make it work, we would love to hear what you were doing.
Don, you are family. We do allow redos. We can let you start from the beginning and just go through it again. So call us back. You are listening to World Poetry Open Mic. You're going to want to call in 720-240-WPOM.
That's 720-240-WPOM.
And you are listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Call now.
Could bring a home when I'm far from home. So call me on the phone to tell me your love. It's easy to deceive, it's easy to tease, but hard to get peace. How's about a face? How's about a face? God knows you can grace your eyes out of face. Keep your dream alive. Now it makes me sad. It makes you mad too. For loving what is you. Eyes about a face. Eyes about a face. God knows you can reach your eyes without a face. Now what I is gone from your eyes. I bet you realize. Eyes without a face. Eyes without a face. Eyes without a face. I know human grace. Rise without a face. Such a human grace. Rise without a face.
What are you waiting for? Now's the perfect time to call. 720-240-WPOM. That's 720-240-9766 to share your poetry or spoken word art with the masses.
How often do you think about the air you breathe? Oxygen, gas of life, or secret military death vapor? Tonight.
There's no sense in telling me the wisdom of the fool will set you free. That's the way that it goes, and it's what nobody knows. But every day my confusion grows. Thank you.
And welcome back. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. I'm J. Todd Underhill, your humble host and poet, house poet. Anyway, sitting next to me, we've got singer-songwriter extraordinaire, member of the Western Music Hall of Fame. He is Magic Michael Amade.
I'm getting more nicknames this week. You should hear the other ones, although we shouldn't put them on the air.
No. Yep. There you go. You didn't play our new commercial this week. I guess I'll just do a live read on that. Tonight's show is being brought to you by Magic Mike's House of Bondage. If you're in a light
Holy
bondage
cow!
Or what? Into some serious kink, he is your man. About? Most people say it's 50 Shades of Grey. I say it's 50 Shades of
Wow.
Sorry.
You know, great. When I was a child, when I was about 5-6 years old, I used to look up at the sky and I used to just say, one day I hope I have a radio show that goes out across the world. One day I hope I have a commercial with my name in it.
And
I want to say thank you so much for just making that dream come true, albeit in an incredibly perverse and weird way.
I know, right? There you go. No, actually, you know, we did that. I did that in our production meeting, and I knew I was going to drop that on the
air. Oh, yeah, we were just totally scared of that.
So, all right. So
that's not a real place, by the way. Yeah, that's not a real store.
Don't look that up. Kind of like mymomspies.com. You don't want to go there either, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Now, we have some callers, though.
All right. So let's go to a caller.
All right. So let's go to number one here.
Line number one. Who is this?
Hello, line number one. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Tate, how you doing, brother?
You guys are pretty twisted there, guy.
Oh. Who is this?
This is Chris.
Chris. Oh, there's a slight echo, and it's making it hard to identify who's on the line. I apologize.
We hear a sort of kind of a surrealist version of everybody's voice here on our end, so we apologize, Chris.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I got a favor to ask. The last time I read this one was a eulogy to a friend of mine. Your guys' recorder didn't, and it didn't archive. And I've had a couple people ask me to read it again.
Okay, go
but
for
I
it.
I wanted to read another one tonight.
Of course you can do two.
Can we have two?
Of course you can.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is the one for tomorrow's memorial service.
All right.
Life is just a breath away in either direction. I don't pretend to understand. I can only try. That's what being human is, I guess, pain. And doing what we can to just know, then live through it. Some brilliance is more fragile than we want to ever believe, and so are some friends. Sometimes talking it through helps. For a while you stay awake, you know? Just aren't all that sleepy, but also not too energetic. You don't want to be doing damn near anything. You see a lot of sunrises through kitchen windows. Sit out on damp, night-chilled porches, just feeling sort of numb. You can remember, or at least think you do, moments, images, the gestalt of caring and missing, fills and hurts, and the guilt of not always being there when it's now you see being alone from the other person's side. And your life was all that mattered, and you should have, would have, could have been different if only you'd realized time isn't always going to be there. So many little things left forever undone, and some tears are always shared. Always. The Diamond Night. It's very dark, both inside and out right now. Dream time and awake mares. The brooding non-silence of a mind stepping along its path of most resistance. Ding dong, witch is dead, witch old witch, wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. The melody has its presence in now's reality. Sparks and fading after images, fireflies on sight's edges. All sides, insides, flash blink, bubble pop, bright, dull, following, moving. And my voice is a lip-whispered monotone echo, reaching my ears, harmonizing with the mind skips. But my hands are empty. My hands are empty. And I'm walking slow. I know and understand the whys, my whys, not your whys, wherefores. And the tired being tired. Self and introspection, outward, inward angers, reachings, failures, tries and promises, and things that we believe in. Endings and the loud silence of every breath. Hot eyes staring into the nothing and seeing everything. Loves me. Loves me not, loves me, dreaming not, am not. I miss that boy. How do we understand our lines within and what crossing them means? When you're awake, is there a sleep? And the nothing is as real as it gets for us all. My friend Chris, 17 March 1970, 21 February 2014. May your spirit find the peace it sought.
Wow. Thank you, Chris. And you know what? I got to say, listening to that, the audio quality on that one turned out better. I'm glad we were recording that one.
Yeah, this one is recorded, and not only that, it's recorded, it's going to be recorded much better than the previous one would have been anyway.
Absolutely fantastic. Like I said, I had several people beat up on me. They heard it. They heard it on your show. They couldn't listening to it again, and it just beat up on me.
Well, I know that's a very important part for, you know, a lot of our poets and for us as well. And when something happens and it didn't record it properly or whatever, and we couldn't upload it didn't sound right, it's really a serious thing. We do take it seriously. So I'm sorry about that, Chris, but I'm glad we can get it for you now.
Well, I appreciate it. Now I'm going to drive you guys crazy.
Alrighty.
It's my turn.
Uh-oh.
An empty chair, a single mug, and the dust motes. Have you a fantasy you might share? One that I might weave around you and breathe life within? Something so soft, and yet a touch of more. A taste of each soul's desire inside. And the after's taste of cinnamon and chocolate and grassed rose, petals and satin's textures and silken smooth fingertips flowing through at sunset to never forget. An eve of being totally who you are, as you are. No masks, no hidden wants. Fully focused, intense, and unbridled passions. Have you a fantasy I may weave into this very existence that includes the sunrise, after, and our eyes looking in, the breath of morning desire caressing lips, hands knowingly flowing, and dreams unending. Realized as the aura of star's light slowly expands from within. Have you a fantasy that changes everything, that rocks all the world? Because you have mine, and leaves in us breathless and trembling, holding so tight to what we'd forgotten we could have. I do. Thanks, guys.
Wow. Very well done. Chris, thank you for calling the show. Thank you for sharing both of those poems. I'm glad we actually got that one recorded for you. And
I really appreciate it, guys. Really do. Like I said, I was getting beat up for it.
Oh, no worries. If you'll shoot me your email. I'm sorry, Chris?
Yeah.
If you'll shoot me your email through the Writer's Cafe, we'll get you just that recording all by itself. That way you can pass it along to friends, too.
I appreciate that.
Awesome. Thank you much.
All right.
All right. So you go.
So now we're going to go
to Chris from Writer's Cafe from Michigan. There's a lot of great poets in Michigan.
There's a lot of great poets in Michigan. You know, and we've got a lot of great poets from all around the country and all around the world to call in. We have a few more here, but I just wanted to throw out, you know, we'll probably do another segment tonight.
That's right.
So if we do, what number do you want them to call when
You're going to want to call 720-240-9766, but when we do our call-in period.
Not yet, because we're actually not taking calls in right now, but we have our next caller that we're going to go to. Now, this is Marsha. She's been a caller to the show before.
Marsha, welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
One moment here. Let's make sure we get her.
Marsha, are you on the line with us?
Well, when we have certain people, we have people call in, and sometimes it does that to us. Let's see. One second here. Here, one more thing. One more time. Let's try it.
Marsha, are you on the line with us?
One second here.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill for just a moment. A friend of mine said, do I ever read poems from other people? And I rarely do that, but I'm going to do that for her. This is by Nicole Alexander. I found one that kind of is cool. It starts off with a quote from a Irish proverb, so Michael will enjoy this. A good friend is like a four-leaf clover.
Hello?
Sorry, got her. Oh, Marsha's on the line. Marsha, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Welcome to the line.
Thank you.
We're going to let you go, and then I'll do the submission later.
Yes. Hello, Marsha. Yes, please. What do you have? What do you have for us?
Oh, well, I have a poem written a few years ago when my son was in college about Chad Ford, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Do you want me to shall I go ahead?
Of course. You're on the airline.
Okay, one thing about this poem is Chad Ford has a lot of stone houses and stone walls, and it's a very neat and tidy countryside, so that's just setting it up. Okay, Chad Ford.
All right.
Tidy and stone-walled, rolling hills and winding streams. The landscape, one of simplicity and beauty, at once peaceful yet standoffish. Its message... Don't tarry here. We like things the way they are. Tidy and neat. No room for questions from outsiders. Yet what happens here behind closed doors is no different than what happens everywhere in towns large or small. Successes mixed with dysfunction. But we keep our skeletons well hidden in the farthest reaches of our closets. No snappy disclosures here. Stone wall. That's what we do best.
Well done.
Thank you. Do you have time for... Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Go. Do you want to do another one?
Do you have time for one more quick one?
Of course.
All righty. Let me see here. Oh, I it's hard to choose, but I'll pick this one. This one is called Drama. So here we go.
All right.
I prefer my drama to be on a stage, in a movie, on TV, or in a book. I've had enough of real life drama to last a lifetime. I really don't care to hear the nitty gritty details of your dysfunctional life. We all have dysfunctional lives. What makes your dysfunctional life so special? We are all struggling to survive with some modicum of dignity. We are all on the same treadmill called life. I will embrace your real problems. I will make time for them. I will help in any way I can. I will ease your burden. Just don't bother me with everyday drama. I don't need it. I don't want it. I have lost all tolerance for it. I'm sure you can find someone out there with a thirst for drama. Mine was quenched long ago.
Nice. Well done, Marcia.
Thank you.
Now you said,
thank you.
You said going through with a modicum of dignity. You know, I was suddenly reminded about, I think I had a modicum of dignity back in the late 90s at some point. But
really?
Since then, it's just, I'm just down in the dirt.
No, we had a modicum of dignity before we started the show, but this is going better now.
We're all dressed in clown costumes in case no one knew that.
There you go.
It was a struggle, that's for sure.
You know, but Marcia, thanks so much for listening, and thank you so much for calling and for staying on the line.
No problem.
And your
no
work
problem.
Is fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Marcia, one of the newest members of the World Poetry Open Mic family. And if you want to be a part of our family, you're going to want to call in during our next segment to share your poetry.
That's right.
And, you know, we'll lay some love on you, too.
We'll lay some love on you.
There you go.
That's not
poetic love. That's yeah. Poetically speaking.
Let's
it's a metaphor.
Sure, let's make sure that we're using this correctly as a metaphor. Now, we have one last caller in the segment here.
All right.
And this is Edgar. Edgar, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hello. Edgar, welcome aboard, brother.
Thank you very much. I just heard Marcia. That was very lovely of her.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
That is correct.
And what are you going to share with us?
I'm going to share a little bit of my prose. This is basically like ever-passing moments. It's called King Street and Alakea.
All right.
Goes, I walk alone, lonely in these streets. Everyone looks so lovely, but no one offers a smile. I walk alone, but not lonely anymore. You offered me a smile. It will go with me forever. But I had the feeling this wouldn't last. The way she smiled said goodnight. The way she waved said goodbye. And with the flick of her wrist, she was gone. Thank you.
Well done. Like it. Strong
nice.
Work.
Nice. And you said you had a couple more for us, right, sir?
That is correct. These are very short proses, and they're just basically to the point. This one is a little bit feeling overwhelmed, and just very sincere words that, as an artist, as a poet, one feels. It's called I Just Don't. Most days, I don't sit and wonder anything. I don't bother trying. I don't bother living. Most days I don't lay and think of you. Most days I just don't. Most hours I am not talking about anything. I don't bother trying. I don't bother. Most days I just don't exist. And that was I Just Don't.
Wow. Edgar, strong. Question for you. How long have you been writing?
I have been writing for, when I got really serious about my work, it's been about 5 years. I remember, my mom keeps all of my stuff. I remember writing as early as sixth grade when I first read, a short story from Poe. And from then, I was captured, and I was in fifth grade. And my mom keeps all of my work. And as early as sixth grade, I have been kind of writing on and off.
See, I've been writing for 27 years. And when I was a younger lad, I would have killed to have a radio show like this, as far as for me to call in. So I'm glad we're providing a platform for you to share your work. You said you have one more for us?
I have one more.
All right.
And this is my recent... I just kind of uploaded on Writer's Cafe, is a really great place for poets and writers to share.
Yeah.
This one is called I'll Always Remain. It goes, such an uneven ground where I stand. The grass with its different shades, like the emotions I feel. And as I walk, I can feel the rocks beneath my feet. I should join them. Bother your peace, bother you. But now the sun has fallen, and I remain standing. I remain staring. I remain living. I'll always remain here. Thank you very much, guys.
Awesome, Edgar. Very well done.
Edgar, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for calling and for sharing your work.
You guys are super epic. Ever since I've listened to you guys, 2 weeks ago, I've just fallen in love, and I've been in, chronically babbled with, be honest with you guys. You guys are super epic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you're epic, too. Your writing is just through the roof. All right, so.
Thank you very much.
That was Edgar. And he mentioned a place I hang out with on occasion. It's called Writer's Cafe. It's where you can post your works and get reviews on them. And it's one of the many poetry boards out there, but that's where I kind of loiter on occasion.
You loiter there?
I loiter there. So
you're such a loiterer.
I was starting into a poem by a poet named Nicole Alexander. I'm going to go ahead and finish that before we take our next call-in break.
And I have one submission after that as well.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
This is entitled A True Friend, and it's based on a Irish proverb. I was reading this to you. A good friend is like a four-leaf clover. Hard to find and lucky to have, which I consider you a good friend, my friend. So this is her poem based on that. Lonely. I searched for a friend I could count true. I always lose the ones I have, no matter what I do. My heart feeling rejected, never could get close. If I reached out to them, it always no shows. I hugged them when they had pain or felt shame. I would rejoice with their triumphs they had to claim. Shining moment or sadness ran them away. My shining moment or sadness ran them away. I guess my emotions were too much to weigh. Maybe I searched the wrong places over and over. Never was I good at finding a four-leaf clover. God sent me a friend with a heart of goodwill. Now I have a friend forever. Now it's all uphill. And that's Nicole Alexander.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, do you read other people's works? Because I do a lot of my own stuff. But
sure.
You normally do the submissions. The Phantom, when she was with our show, did the submissions. I'm going to start picking up some of that slack.
Is that where the bondage joke came from?
No.
I'm just wondering about this.
Yes, that is the whole thing. Emperor Zod, the bondage master.
Emperor Zod. I thought it was General, by the way.
General Zod, sorry.
Emperor comes later.
Okay, there you go.
You need to study Napoleonic history. Okay, so this is another submission by Valermore. It's called The First Day We Touched. It's a short, true story by Valermore de Plume. Cold, gray, stormy skies were in your eyes when first we met. Intuition suggested doors of your tender heart slammed and locked from within long ago. Speculation insinuated the hard, dry, callous behavior of an early flame lingers in the back of your reasoning. Consideration advised me to tread lightly, with measured steps while advancing in your direction. Conversation stumbled and staggered past my smitten lips towards your seemingly unconcerned ears. Inspiration cowered in the corner of my mind, refusing to act as my usual guide in such matters. Dumbfounded awkwardness placed an impenetrable barrier around me, causing the realization I, too, have locked doors from within. Small talk turned its back to flee from me, with unjustified indifference to the overture swelling in my chest. Mesmerized by your presence in a room filled with friends, I could see only you. Your beautiful spirit attracting me like a moth to the flame. Inadequacy imprisoned me in chains of self-doubt, cutting deep into my flesh as I struggled against them. Time itself turned ruthlessly against my plight as you made your way out through the exit to return to parts unknown. Desperation and necessity empowered me to break the chains. Rushing past a maddening crowd and loud noise, I touched you on the shoulder, gently. You turned your exquisitely pretty face to meet my intrusion at the exit. Determination seized my vocal cords, wanting surely to be heard above the screaming rock and roll. No time now for ineptitude. So yelling out with all my might, the only words that had not escaped my mind. I hope I get to see you again. At that very moment, the music came to its silent end. Your magnificent warm smile brought back the sunlight to my darkened, stormy heart. In time, we learned to pick the locks, throw the doors wide open, revealing that we were soulmates with no more need to suppress. More than 30 years ago, I took you as my bride. I'll walk beside you all our days, doing so with pride. by Valimor de Plume.
Wow. Valimor. Really,
that was a really solid piece.
Strong write. Strong read, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you.
Good job.
But, you know, we haven't been doing a lot of submissions because we had so much of the tech stuff and trying to get this up. This will be coming back and be a much more strong part of our show once
exactly.
again, as it was before.
And if you want to submit, go out to worldpoetryopenmic.net and use the contact form. You're already here because you're listening to the show.
Just use the contact form
just
on the website.
Use our contact form, yes. And also, I did want to say before we go to break, if you record your poetry, I do a podcast of recorded yes. poetry. You can submit MP3 form as the preferred method, but you could submit your recorded audio to jtoddunderhill@yahoo.com. I'll go ahead and use their virus scan to make sure that I don't get anything nasty on my computer, and we'll get you into our podcast loop also. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Slipping sideways, silver stars collide and fade away just like our love that died. And there is nowhere in this universe to hide from you tonight. I've wrestled with angels all my life. It's always the halos and the wings that keep you blind. If I fought with all the strength I held inside, I wouldn't be out here alone tonight. I wouldn't be standing 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 alone tonight. Curse me blind with straight and crooked thinking. Alone tonight, just like the western star I'm sinking. The angels curse me blind with straight and crooked thinking. I've been crossing out the words I left unsaid. From the epilogue left lying in my head. There is poetry and tragedy unread. Until tonight. There's no other angel quite like you. They broke the mold, a thousand pieces, icy blue. Though I tried to realign them like I do, you in your own way, and I did too. So here I am. Tonight, just like the western star, I'm sinking. The angels curse me blind with straight and crooked thinking. Alone tonight, just like the western star, I'm sinking. The angels curse me blind with straight and crooked thinking. Woo!
Our phone lines are now open. If you're one of the millions of listeners who are dying to speak with J. Todd, Michael, or JT, call now at 720-240-9766. They are so looking forward to hearing from you.
Liquor, don't drink that.
Why?
Mine.
Oh. This message brought to you by the United States Department of Condescending Paternalism.
Put that junk in the junk house.
You did, baby. You did, baby. Keep your eye on things while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things. Don't you try everything while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things.
Who put the fun in the fun house?
You did, baby. You did.
Who put your dad in the half house?
You did, baby. You did, baby.
Ooh, put the boys in the clubhouse.
You did, baby. You did.
Ooh, put the cat in the cat house.
You did, baby. You did, baby. Keep your eye on things while I'm gone. Keep an eye on things. Don't you try everything while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things. Keep your eye on things while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things. You did, baby. Keep an eye on things while I'm gone. Keep an eye on things. Don't you try everything while I'm gone. Keep an eye on things. Keep an eye on things while I'm gone. Keep an eye on things.
That's right. You've got the next evolution in poetry radio. World Poetry Open. I'm like, that's so laid back. Oh, I love that song.
It's so chill.
I know. I just want to.
I was actually falling asleep myself.
Smoke, sit back, listen to Brian Roberts all night long. Just that voice, man. I'm telling you, that voice.
You fall in love with Brian Roberts' voice a little bit every time you hear it.
It's kind of like a bromance.
You got a bromance with Brian.
Yes, totally. Oh, jeez.
What is this?
This is madness.
Steve, are you with us?
Yes, is this Michael's House of Pain?
Jump around. Jump up and get down.
The funny thing about that, Steve, is that's actually how I answer my personal home phone.
I'm not surprised. I wanted to place an order because I had been reading the J. Todd Underhill memoirs, 50 Shades of Beige.
Nice. Thank you.
It made me decide that I have to do something.
Oh my gosh. You're just not living life if you haven't had 50 Shades of Beige.
That's what I've heard. I got to tell you, I love the musical selections you guys are doing, but based upon the way the show has been going, you really need more British invasion tunes.
I can agree with you on that, Steve.
And he's going to the hard drive right now.
You don't have to worry about the Stones and the Who, but the Kinks can really kick your ass.
Yeah.
As we know, because Michael does it on a professional basis.
Well, I was talking about Kinks, not only the greatest rock and roll band in the history of rock and roll, but also technical glitches.
Yes.
Although it seems like things are getting a lot better.
Well,
and I'm willing to go through as many glitches as possible if it means the show runs longer and we get more great poetry.
Exactly.
So,
That will definitely happen at this rate.
And that will happen at this rate, JT says.
Well, at least it's going longer, but as long as you have me on, the chances of great poetry go downhill.
No, you are a good writer.
But speaking of great poetry, congratulations to Ellie. Well deserved and well done.
Yes.
Hooray, Ellie. I have two pieces, one very short and one comparatively short.
Okay.
May I?
Of course.
I'll do with the comparatively short first. It is called The Mannered Elegance of Order. She loved the mannered elegance of order, the carefully crafted simplicity of controlled desire, the timeless measure of restrained passion. A black cocktail dress and single strand of pearls, cultured just like her, in her home of clean lines and solid domesticity, where velvet drapes and Persian rugs met landscape watercolors and porcelain figurines all placed with exacting precision, where cherry wood glowed from constant polishing and the candles never dripped, they cast the dancing shadow upon the pristine walls, where outside her bedroom door, two Chippendale chairs framed the doorway like sentry boxes, straight-backed and broad-shouldered, guarding her secret chamber. Yet in that room I saw one small crack upon the ceiling, visible only while gazing over her shoulder, when all restraint was lost.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Don't sell your writing short, brother.
No.
I'm sorry?
Don't sell your writing short. That was great.
Absolutely.
When you're 6'5", it's hard to sell anything short.
Oh, that's true.
I heard the rim shut in my head as well, actually.
Wow.
Sorry, it's just that one is too easy after all these many, 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 many years.
Oh. Well, don't let us ruin that slump. You're a New York lawyer. Why not, right?
You have to have some sort of natural predator out there.
Why don't sharks eat lawyers?
Why?
Professional courtesy.
Oh, I love it.
Where do vampires learn to suck blood? Law school.
Yes, yes, love that.
Now, Steve,
and
yes, sir.
Yes.
No, I was. I was going to say, did you say you had another one for us, or am I crazy?
Yes, a short one.
Well, both of those things are true. He has another poem, and yes, you are crazy.
Okay, I will accept that.
A short one entitled "When Asked Why I Never Write a Poem for My Love." You asked why I never wrote you a poem, why my verses never were dedicated to you, or told your story, or bore your name. There has been no need. Your love pours out in every line I write. Your memory is branded upon my soul.
Well done.
I like that.
I really like that one. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, pleasure as always, and thank you for being my Friday night addiction.
Oh, thank you for feeding our Friday night addiction. Well-spoken poetry, and I read on occasion, too.
Hey,
thanks,
Steve,
again for everything you do. Congratulations on the longer show and all of the new people coming in.
Yeah.
Well done. The show is growing and getting better and better each week, up until some guy from New York calls.
No, you're fine, brother.
Steve, you're a vital part. Thank you so much for everything you bring to the show as well.
Take care, guys. Hope to speak with you next week.
See you next week.
See you then. Thank you, sir.
And, you know, Steve mentioned that our show is growing and that we're getting new callers, and I think it very apropos that he say that, and he doesn't even know that
Our next caller
is a brand new caller.
That's right.
Please welcome from Canada, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, there's Sherry. A slight delay. You're going to want to turn down. You're going to want to turn down your listening device.
Yeah. Can you?
I'm here.
All right. Excellent. Now, can you do us a favor and turn down your turn down the speakers on the computer a little bit? It's kind of coming back through
okay,
the phone.
Okay, just a sec here.
Okay. Now, Sherry was telling me on the phone when I answered earlier, she is from Saskatchewan in
How's
Canada.
That?
Much better, Sherry.
Much better.
Okay.
Sherry, now you're from Saskatchewan?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And you're calling our show for the first time. I'm very honored.
Well, thank you.
And you've got a poem or two to share with us?
I've got one for sure. And this one's called Everlasting.
All right.
Okay. There was much in the way of time when I left my loved one. I was young then, on the run. The time is a way of creeping, of seeping through crevices unnoticed in the rush of living. If I could be forgiven, I would rest in peace, but I cannot sleep, knowing all I lost. I was young then. Time seemed endless. There were places to go, people to see, before I knew it, I was in too deep. Too deep to acknowledge all I was losing. I was cruising, living for adventure, until that moment I awoke. The frost was thick, the snow was deep, I awakened from dreamless sleep, and for the first time felt the cold. I was old. My bones never felt more chilled than on that day, realizing I'd frittered it all away. Sorry, I lost my place.
Stay with us. We're okay.
When I left my loved one, I was young then. My callow heart was calloused with the pride of youth. My words were fast, often straying from the truth. But I loved her, even when on the run. The time is a way of creeping, of seeping through crevices unnoticed in the rush of living. I wasted my youth. I wanted it all. I was driven. But now I cannot sleep. I cannot find peace of mind. I left my true love behind, consumed by the rush of living. I took for granted all that she was giving. I'm haunted by her memory, haunted by her scent. It still comes to me adrift in those moments between dreaming and waking. How long can a heart exist when constantly breaking, heavy with the knowledge of selfish forsaking? Hers was a heart that loved me true. She was so tender, white lily, sweet as morning dew. How much pain can one heart take before shriveling to the core? How much regret can eat away until there simply is no more? When I die, I shall not sleep, but a restless earthbound soul I'll be, doomed to repent all that I lost, grieving everlastingly. The end.
Oh, wow. My goodness. That was great.
Sherry, thank you so much.
Sherry, thank you for calling our show. Don't ever stop. I'm glad you're a member of our family.
Well, I'll tune in next week.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sherry showed the way. With new cars, you don't need to be afraid to call in.
I wouldn't be afraid.
No.
At all.
So.
I mean, I'm afraid sometimes for you and I have a feeling that, you know, some of our callers, I think, intellectually dwarf at least my part of the table. I don't know about everybody else.
My part, too,
I would definitely say your part of the table and my part of the table.
In fact, all of our parts put together, yeah, pretty much. No! I do want to say this, though. We have some really talented listeners, callers, people that enjoy the show. I am very blessed to have all these people in my life.
As are we all.
And I got laid an honor on me by one of our regular poets who did something for me that I've never had anybody do for me before. And not that sicko. They covered my work, and I was really honored. And so I'm going to return the favor for them. This is by Mr. Dennis White. This is entitled Pondering Kindness into Reality. Kindness has many faces. A handshake, a visit, a gift of time and goods. And knows many comforting words. If sincere, they can touch minds and open hearts. Kindness is centered on others. Self is willing to reside in the shadows and let someone else take the spotlight. Empty kind words share beauty, but wither in the sunlight of scrutiny and falter as a fragile flower. Kind words are much more meaningful when accompanied by actions. They cross gulfs of indifference with tangible action and benefit for both the giver and receiver. A kind thought is like a seed planted in one's mind. It germinates, bringing its fruit in its season. Kindness in word, time, and thoughtful deeds finds fulfillment in giving of resources, but even more in the giving of oneself. In doing so, we touch the divine. And that is a powerful poem, my friend. Dennis, thank you for writing that one. And I don't do it justice. You probably could read that much better. That
Dennis is such a solid poet.
Yeah, you know? He is.
Now, we have a caller who actually had called in before and was calling in because of something you guys said.
Okay.
And this is Chris, once again.
Chris from Michigan?
Chris from Michigan. Chris, are you there on the line?
Oh, I am here.
No, I heard you had something special to share with us, that you heard something on the show and had to call back in.
Oh, well, I heard about your House of Pain.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, you really deserve to have something that would reflect such a thing. Now, I warn you, this one's a heavy breather. It doesn't have an F-bomb.
Okay.
But it's erotic.
We're good with that.
Okay. And this reflects a little bit of reality. You see, once a while back in my more interesting days, I attended a Halloween party. And she was drop-dead gorgeous. Here's the rest of it. It's called A Breath of Beginning. You played so oblivious as I teased you. I didn't exist, wasn't there. Couldn't possibly have said that. Not while so many others grouped or just paired or near or looking on. And yet, as you flowed through the rooms, you looked for me. Back to me, pause near, and ever returned. And with each stolen glance at me, I caught your eyes sparkling, and a look that would melt an 8-day candle in minutes. I sat on the garden wall, part of the night shadow, listening to the party flow. Music and muffled voices, laughter. Some even real. Your whisper startled me, and as I turned, you sat near. You were moved nearer still, thigh to thigh, then leaning closer, continued. You spoke of silk scarves and entwined wrists, sultry smiles, throaty echoes, and that look. And the taste of butterfly kisses crossed cheeks down the neck. You said my lips beckoned as no other, and that I would beg. Beg for the sheer touch of your lips and the flow of fingertips. Your fingertips. And I was so lost for eyes. And would your fingertips trail back and forth across a naked knee, rising to my curves and flowing all the softnesses, exploring, discovering the heat of shivers, crossing, caressing again and again, while my arms were splayed and held taut, helpless to protest your liberties? Oh, God, yes, her eyes said to mine, and her hand reached and rested upon mine. And the heat. Would your lips replace those fingertips? Pause atop my breast, give me rise, draw the life from nipples so taut that my body would rise and vibrate to the strum of your music. And pause and make me sing in harmonies as you enthrall the other. And wouldn't blink. But the tongue, what of it wandering, flowing wet, heated, lost, seeking, finding just the heart of me? What of it tasting, testing nooks and rises up and down, farther down, across the rippling teasing, nestling, tickling little hairs so brutally, helplessly, his hands surely begging to reach, to defend, to pull the lips nearer to dear heated places, wondrous places, wicked places of flowing wetness, silken smooth with need, awaiting in tearful attention your belated arrival. And her fingers tightened hard on my hand. But my legs are free to fly, twist, close, clamp tight, prevent, preclude, forcefully pause you, unless the other two scars were also used. First as a tease, twisted lightly round and around an ankle, and then unashamedly grasped and fastened tight to a base edge. And damn, but she laughed lightly, and then continued. The other would try to escape and flee, twist and turn, thrust and kick, but you are too strong, too sure, limp, bold, and merely laying atop will pause, hold, and give way, empowering further perverse play to uncircling and honestly held, it too is bound, through and tight to the bed's delight. And she licked her lips, and I forgot how to breathe. And now the errant fingertips rebound, and thighs are held and found, fingertips press and flow, fingers widely spread, and ripples within me grow. Hips rise and heatedly turn, rapid breaths burn, and arms tighten and pull, and press and draw and whispers call with some dry. And yet the heat bathes and flows and tenses and flows. She paused. And would you be kind and release a begging, needing victim of your tease? Hell no, she woefully with my full intent in tone. And damn, that smile said it all. And poor me, suffering so, twisting, lifting, rocking, moving side to side, rising, falling, breathing, and then not, wanting, needing, purring, wishing, asking, lifting to the touch, wet so wet, the sheer flow soaking, flowing, glistening, slippery, sliding, kneading, and the fingertips sliding, sliding. The smooth, real, raw pink me centered, open, wanting, rising. And yes, begging the touch, needing the touch, and twist and turn and press and slip and slide, then suddenly within, then out and beginning again, and again, and again. She paused, flushed with lust. Your dry lips. And no release. You evil, evil man. You paused, then moved away the hands, those delicious knowing hands, then leaned. And God, blew a stream of breath right liquor, knowing I died. Falling and falling and falling, and damn, but your lips closed on me. On me. Marvelous tip teased and tasted, grew and spread, and I flew and flew higher and higher still in the movement. I kept raising and falling to and from, pausing on the high, gasping on the low. And yes, damn you, I begged, again and again, and prayed aloud it would mend. And she released my hand, stopped speaking and stood. Calmly turned, began walking away. I couldn't move. She paused at the door, turned, looked. Well, where the hell had I left those damn scars?
Nice. Well done. I gotta say, That was so intense that Michael had a ball gag and a 3-foot segment of rubber hose, and he was ready to go to his other job.
I think people are under the impression that that's somehow different than how I normally
am. That is. Not really. Chris, thank you for calling and sharing that one with us. I like it when people push the boundaries, the normal confines of our show, and that was through the roof.
Absolutely.
I didn't tell you what her costume was, though, guys.
Okay. Okay.
Her wearing was a black hefty bag full of dry leaves. That was it.
Really?
Really.
Yeah, you stole my idea for this year.
There you go. Now you got to go look for another costume, my friend.
Why? Now, why do cosplayers never dress up like functioning humans?
I don't know.
Don't want to know.
Chris, thank you for calling our show. I really appreciate your addition to it.
Chris, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, so. At last, I am out of coffee, and I'm out of energy. It's been a long day, and Mike's got to go to his other job at the House of Bondage, and JT is about to turn into a pumpkin. So, with that being said, you've been listening to World Poetry Open, Mike. I thank you for tuning in. I hope you tune in next week. You never know where we're going to go with the show. And last but not least, good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you are.
JT, let's go to work.
Okay.